This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Rob Brenton producing this thing, taking you up until 6 o'clock. Tonight, Rob and I will both be at Allen Fieldhouse. One person actually cheers for Kansas. The other person does not. That is the plan for this evening. I will be in attendance at Allen Fieldhouse. I am pretty excited. I do think the Roy Williams tribute will be pretty cool today. I am excited to go to Allen Fieldhouse today. I'm not going to say I am very excited to be here. I'm not going to do all that, Rob, but I am happy to, after the show today, make the trek to Lawrence, Kansas, and be at tonight's exhibition against the Iowa State Cyclones.
Exhibition? I mean, Iowa State's a top flight Big 12 school.
They
would give Mizzou all sorts of fits. I mean, they're an elite squad.
They actually play Missouri here in a couple of weeks, so they will get the opportunity to give Missouri all of the buckets is what they will be doing. They will be giving Missouri all of the buckets. Let's start today's show as we will start basically for the next month. Let's talk a little playoff football here on 610 Sports Radio. And you know the saying, in order to know where you're going, you got to know where you've been. That's sort of how I'm feeling today in talking about the history between these two teams. It seemed like for a stretch there, these teams always met up in the playoffs. These two teams always met up in important games. And the Steelers were one of the teams back when the Chiefs had the 17th best quarterback in the National Football League that they could never get over the hump. The Chiefs were an 11-12 win team. Pittsburgh was the Steelers. They've been consistent. We know the names that they had on those teams. But the Chiefs, for whatever reason, just couldn't get over the hump when they were playing those teams. I think the Steelers are actually really important in finding out and the journey of how the Chiefs became the Chiefs. Let's start with that playoff game back in 2017, if I'm not mistaken, where I think the Chiefs at that point made the decision that they were going to move on from Alex Smith and started the process of drafting Patrick Mahomes.
Steelers 18, Chiefs 16, 2:43 to go in the game. Empty backfield. Kelce, O'Shaughnessy, Harris, all in a triangle to the right. Alex Smith will hold it. Fires it late, wide open. Harris in the back of the end zone. 2-point conversion, but a flag on the play. Hang on.
Holding. Number 72 offense. 10-yard penalty. The try will be attempted on the 12-yard line.
The Chiefs get a 2-point conversion wiped out. A holding penalty on Eric Fisher. The try for two was good to Harris. But a holding penalty on Eric Fisher wipes it out, and now the Chiefs have to try it again down 18-16.
That was January of 2017, and in that moment against the Pittsburgh Steelers, I believe that the Kansas City Chiefs made the decision to move forward at the quarterback position and decided to move on from Alex Smith. If you remember that game, Pittsburgh did not score an offensive touchdown. They kicked 6 field goals that day. And that was probably as good of a Chiefs team that we've seen in recent memory pre-Patrick Mahomes. We're talking about a team that had Alex Smith. We're talking about a team that had Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and Jeremy Maclin. We're talking about a team that was loaded defensively with Eric Berry, Justin Houston, Marcus Peters. Dontari Poe was still on the team back then. A young D Ford was here. That was a really strong Chiefs team. And the Chiefs hit the point that a lot of organizations hit if you don't have one of those guys. If you don't have an elite high-end quarterback in the National Football League, you can win a lot of regular season games not being elite at the quarterback position. You may luck up and win a playoff game, maybe even two if you don't have an elite quarterback. But what typically happens is you hit your head on a ceiling that can only be broken through by elite quarterback play or better quarterback play than you have. We acknowledged this back in 2017. A lot of things had to go right if you were going to win the ultimate prize if Alex Smith was your quarterback. And on that day in which you hold the Pittsburgh Steelers, who had Big Ben, a prime Antonio Brown, maybe the last great game we saw from Le'Veon Bell, if you can hold that team under 21 at home Sunday night football, you gotta find a way to win that football game. And if you remember, that's the game where Alex Smith doesn't make the play downfield to Tyreek Hill. And in that moment, I believe the Chiefs started the process of drafting Patrick Mahomes. Who knows what could happen? The entire balance of the Kansas City Chiefs could have changed with just winning one game. Let's say that hold isn't called on Eric Fisher. Let's say the Chiefs win that game. They go to the AFC Championship game. Maybe the Chiefs don't draft a quarterback. Maybe they think to themselves, hey, we got to the AFC Championship. Maybe they feel the same way that Tennessee felt with Ryan Tannehill. Remember, Tennessee was in the same position 2 years ago. They went on a crazy run. They got to the AFC Championship game. At the end of that season, they gave Ryan Tannehill a contract, and he's been their quarterback ever since. They talk about football being a game of inches. We could be having a very different conversation about where the Chiefs currently stand if they win that postseason game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. That game, to me, started to change the course of where Kansas City was going to go. So if that's the beginning of the history with the Pittsburgh Steelers, this is certainly the ending of it.
Chiefs stay in the empty backfield, 3-by-2. Chiefs offensive line, the tackles turning their inside ear to Mahomes to try to get the right protection call. Mahomes throwing left sideline, passes caught, Tyreek Hill, touchdown! Kansas City on a streak pattern up the left sideline.
That was 2018. That was the second game of the regular season for the Kansas City Chiefs. And Rob, maybe you haven't noticed this, but I'm a little bit of a natural skeptic. It takes me a while to see things. I'm going to be late to the party sometimes. Now, maybe some of you saw that Patrick Mahomes was a franchise quarterback, a generational talent in the first two starts he had made. I thought he was okay in the Broncos game. I think he would tell you that. He was not dynamic in the Broncos game. And then that first week, he played really well against the Los Angeles Chargers. Fast forward a week, you're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. And up to that point, the Steelers were a team that the Chiefs just could never beat. They were just a bad matchup for Kansas City. It didn't matter if that game was in Pittsburgh. Didn't matter if that game was at Arrowhead. The Chiefs were just a bad matchup for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that was a game that you went into expecting the Steelers to win. And I remember thinking in that game, all right, you got a young quarterback at Patrick Mahomes. You're going on the road to play one of the better teams in the National Football League. Let's see what happens. We saw what happened. Patrick Mahomes threw for 6 touchdown passes and has never looked back. He has been the rival of every quarterback that he has gone up against. The first two games of his career as the official starter of the team, you go up against Phillip Rivers, who's a borderline Hall of Famer. You go up against Ben Roethlisberger, who is a first ballot Hall of Famer, and you're able to match throw for throw, touchdown for touchdown, and not just beat the Steelers, they dominated the Steelers that afternoon. And at that moment, I think most Chiefs fans came to the conclusion, this is different. This is something that Alex Smith couldn't do. Alex Smith could beat the Chargers. We had seen examples of that before. Maybe his best start as a Kansas City Chief was against the San Diego Chargers then at the time. But this was one of those teams that he really couldn't beat and they typically struggled against. And the fact that Mahomes was able to shatter that boundary so early on in his career really set the tone to me for what the next 15 years can look like. He just accomplishes things faster than most people accomplish them. He's thrown 149 touchdown passes in 4 years as a starter. That's not normal. He's played in 2 Super Bowls before playing a true road playoff game. That's not normal. This is what, year five for him. He's making his first wild card round start. That's not normal. Going on the road in your third start and throwing six touchdown passes against the Pittsburgh Steelers is not normal behavior. We saw the rookie quarterbacks this year in the league. Zach Wilson's not capable of doing that. Trevor Lawrence was not capable of doing that. Mac Jones, you had like a super rookie that year. So when I really think about the history of these two teams and going up against each other, and remember the Clark Hunt quote of, this is an organization that we model ourselves after, this is an organization that we want to become, they sort of reached that point by start three for Patrick Mahomes. This is really the circle of life. The beginning of the circle was losing in the playoff games in 2017, and the decision, we have to make a change at quarterback. Not a lot of organizations make the decision that Kansas City made. We've got a good quarterback. We can win double-digit games with them. We're not going to spend two first-round picks to move up and potentially miss on a quarterback. The Chiefs had a plan. They've saw that plan through. And full circle moment, a year later, that plan fully came to fruition against the same franchise that they're going to play his first wild card game up against. He threw six touchdown passes on the road against one of the best organizations in the NFL. That's just not a normal rookie behavior and thing to do. Coming up next, we'll get you the latest on some of the injuries with the Kansas City Chiefs. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is dealing with the injury. Darrell Williams is dealing with an injury. We'll give you their update and their status next. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
This time they go with a pro receiver set, tight end and flanker to the right side of the formation. Tip-tap motion, quick pass, slant, it's caught by Bo at the 30-yard line. At the 20, sprints into the secondary, 10, 5, touchdown! Kansas City, a power slant throw to Dwayne Bo. He just ran right by the Colts secondary. A 41-yard slant pattern to Bo for the touchdown.
Here's C-Dot.
Coming up momentarily, we'll talk about Dwayne Bo, who tweeted something very interesting yesterday. We'll do that coming up momentarily. But first, let's update you on some of the Chiefs' injuries. Here's James Palmer of NFL Network.
Having all your weapons around your quarterback is extremely important, and that's why we're keeping an eye on three of them in Kansas City, most notably Tyreek Hill. Remember, he played very sparingly against the Broncos on Saturday night because of a heel injury he suffered pregame, and it's something that has bothered him in the past. Now, Andy Reid gave this group actually off from Saturday until tomorrow. Now, he's been resting it, and they feel like it's heading in the right direction. And if they anticipate right now for Sunday, they believe that he is going to play. Then you look at the backfield, and Darrell Williams, who's played very well, 1,000 scrimmage yards this season, out of the backfield catching and running the football, hurt his big toe in this game. He did not finish the game. They're going to monitor that as the week goes on, to my understanding. And then Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who injured that right shoulder against the Steelers, Andrew, missed the last two games because of that shoulder issue. They're going to monitor that. They think he's heading in the right direction, but this has been something they've been kind of watching him progress over the last couple weeks. Would like him to play in this game, obviously, but those are injuries we're going to follow throughout the week. The most confidence, it seems, is in Tyreek Hill going, and obviously he's a player unlike any other in this.
Obviously, everyone would like Tyreek Hill to be healthy and play in this game. Now, maybe this is just my arrogance. This is me not taking the Pittsburgh Steelers very seriously and thinking to myself that they don't need either one of these individuals. But I would not be against in any way the Chiefs giving Clyde Edwards-Helaire another week to get healthy and get right. If Darryl's dealing with something, giving him a little bit more time because the games are only going to get more important. They could win this game with Jerick McKinnon and Derek Gore. Now, Rob, maybe this is me starting to pop wheelies and, you know, you hit a pothole and you fall off the wheelie and I'm just getting ahead of myself here. But Jerick McKinnon looked good on Saturday against the Denver Broncos. That was a big-time play he made with on the little swing pass when he scores the touchdown. Derek Gore, given the small opportunities that he's been given, has really performed well in those opportunities. Maybe this is me being arrogant, not taking the Steelers seriously enough, but if they made the decision to give Clyde another week and they wanted to use Darryl a little bit more sparingly this week and not give him his normal workload and give more of an opportunity to Jerick McKinnon and Derek Gore just to get them through this first round, you got Kelce back, you got Hill back, you use Mecole Hardman a little bit more in the run game, you do some different things, and you can manage for a week. I don't think that that's a bad strategy on how to play this week with the running game. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, if you don't feel he's 100%, he just shouldn't come back. You don't need to upset the apple cart right now. If Darryl can go and you want to throw him out there, all right, cool. But you can hold it down with Darryl Williams, Derek Gore, and Jerick McKinnon. We've seen that happen time and time again. You shouldn't bring Clyde back until you feel like he's healthy to do the things that you need him to do on the field. But that's just something I'm throwing out there. If you think to yourself, all right, hey, let's play the long game here a little bit. We'll give Clyde another week. Darryl's not healthy. We're not going to push him. We like McKinnon. Let's give him a shot. We like what we've seen with Derek Gore, and we can piece the carries around from other guys on the team. I don't know if that's a bad strategy.
The counterpoint, though, is, and I'm referring to it what you refer to it as, preseason game number 4. Isn't that the perfect time to help knock the rust off of a guy who's 75 or 80%? Isn't that the perfect time to maybe get him some catches, get his confidence back up? Maybe he's not a traditional feature back, and he's part of the stable of guys. But in this preseason game number 4 that's happening to play in January, the perfect time to ease him back in, and instead of holding him out a week and needing him to bounce back against the Bills, presumably, you have him at 85%, but he's working into the rhythm of a game against the Steelers. Because the first time they played the Steelers, he actually played pretty well before he got injured.
But the thing with Clyde Edwards-Helaire is, at least so far what we've seen in his career, is that he will probably get injured. I'm not saying he's going to get injured in that individual game, but so far in his career, he hasn't shown the ability that you can feel confident to put him out there at 85, 90% and that he's going to be durable and can endure the touches and pounding that an NFL game takes. So if you think another week can get him closer, and next week in a game that's obviously more important, you can give him his normal 10 to 12 touches and continue to rely on your other guys, I don't think that's a bad strategy. Nothing about Clyde Edwards-Helaire's career says rush him back from injury. That tells me that we are just expediting how quickly he gets hurt again. I think you got to be real cautious with how you handle him the rest of the way. And if we think this is going to be a prolonged playoff run and we're going to be doing this thing for the next 4 weeks, let's not push it against a team that you're 12-point favorites against. Because it's not like you need Clyde Edwards-Helaire to be able to score in this game and you feel like, hey, we need that extra push offensively, especially right now when you got guys. I feel comfortable with any 4 of their running backs. I feel comfortable with Clyde, Darryl, Derek Gore, and Jerick McKinnon given their own individual roles. So if you feel that way, I don't think there's a reason to really push it with anybody.
If you're worried, if your stance is he's going to get hurt regardless, then shouldn't he be on a pitch count in every single game this postseason? Maybe you rest him, but he should never be a, quote, feature back, and you should be using a stable of guys the whole way.
He's not a feature back anymore. He's not. I hear what you're saying. That's where we are with him, though. He's their number 2 running back right now. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is their number 2 running back. Darryl Williams is their number 1. Their number 1 running back today is Darryl Williams. So he's coming back on a pitch count anyway. He's coming back limited. He's coming back. He's touching the ball 10 to 12 times. That's not your feature back anymore. You're going to need him. I still think if you're going to give somebody on this team 15 carries, the best person to give those carries to are Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think the numbers suggest that. But right now they have 2 1-Bs. They don't have a true number one. They have 2 1-Bs. Darryl's a really solid number two back for a team. Clyde's a solid number two back for the team. And combined, you feel like you're all right. But that's where we currently sit with this team. So yesterday, Dwayne Bowe was on the Twitter machine. And he said, imagine if I played with Patrick Mahomes. No offense to Matt Castle. Now, no offense to is kind of like when you say, I don't mean any disrespect, like you're about to say something disrespectful. It ain't like with Matt Castle, you wasn't cooking, my boy. You was out here cooking in 2012. You put up a all-pro, Pro Bowl kind of season with Matt Castle. You were getting a lot of targets with Matt Castle, but I get your point. Dwayne Bowe is one of those guys that you think to yourself, man, what if he had played in a better offense? With the better quarterback and a better system. What if the prime of Dwayne Bowe got an opportunity to play with, hell, even Alex Smith at the time? Alex Smith still would have been one of the better quarterbacks that Dwayne Bowe got an opportunity to catch passes from. It was light work out here for Dwayne Bowe. So it got me thinking, Rob. You know what it got me thinking? It's time for a trivia minigame. 913-576-7610. Let's dedicate today's trivia minigame to Dwayne Bowe. It's been a while since we've done that. We need callers. 913-576-7610. I'll give you the rules coming up here momentarily of our trivia minigame regarding Dwayne Bowe. No offense to Matt Castle. No offense. Have you ever gone through all the quarterbacks that Dwayne Bowe caught touchdown passes from? I'll read you the list of touchdowns, of quarterbacks that he caught touchdown passes for as you get the phone lines ready for this minigame. Because it is not going to be good. I'm here telling you that Dwayne Bowe was catching passes from absolute bums for most of his career. It was dark times for Dwayne Bowe. These are the quarterbacks that Dwayne Bowe caught touchdown passes from in his time in the National Football League. Damon Heward, Brody Croyle, Tyler Thigpen. I still love Tyler Thigpen. Those are great years. Quinn Gray, Matt Castle, Kyle Orton, and he had 1 year of Alex Smith. I mean, that's a lean.
He had 2 years of Alex Smith. They just had that 1 year where no receiver caught a touchdown.
Okay, I forgot about that temporarily. You are right.
They played together, just no receiver caught
you
a touchdown.
Are right. He caught 5 from Alex Smith. Quinn Gray. The hell is Quinn Gray?
You don't remember the Quinn Gray game?
No, I remember it. I just don't know who he is.
Jags backup at one point?
Quinn Gray has 13 career touchdown passes. We kind of hating on Quinn Gray a little bit. He was out here cooking them boys.
Tyler Palko wishes he was Quinn Gray.
Cooking them boys. Quinn Gray got more touchdown passes than Chase Daniel probably got. He didn't make as much money though. All right. This is going to be today's trivia mini game. There are 5 other wide receivers since 1995 who have caught 1,000 or who have had 1,000-yard seasons with the Kansas City Chiefs. Dwayne Bowe is one. There are 5 other wide receivers since 1995 who have had 1,000-yard receiving seasons with the Kansas City Chiefs. Can you name the 5? You know the rules. You name as many of them as you can name. The moment you miss one, what happens, Rob?
We hang up on
you. That's the rules. Jason, there are 6 wide receivers who have caught 1,000-yard seasons with the Chiefs since 1995. Dwayne Bowe is one of them. Name the other 5.
All right, Tyreek Hill.
Correct.
Eddie Kinnison.
Correct.
Oh, my gosh, I just had it up the top of my head. Hold on.
Oh, here we go. You're looking it up.
No, I'm not. I promise. Gosh, what was his name? Mark Boerichter.
I got to hang up on you because that's incorrect. Oh, I was on the top of my head. You're wrong is what it was. The wrong answer was on the top of your head. All right, John. There are 6 receivers since 1995 who have had 1,000-yard seasons with the Chiefs. Dwayne Bowe is one of them. Who are the other five? Tyreek Hill is off the board. Eddie Kinnison also off the board. There are three more.
Well, Travis Kelce.
He does not play wide receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs. He plays a completely different position. 913-576-7610. There's still one phone line that's open right now if you want to win our trivia minigame. CJ, there are six wide receivers who have had 1,000-yard seasons with the Kansas City Chiefs. Dwayne Bowe is one of them. Name the other five. Tyreek Hill is off the board. So is Eddie Kinnison.
I didn't cheat, Charger died. I'm going with Carter. I don't know. Kinnison was my guess, but I'm going with Carter. I didn't cheat, so I don't
All right.
Nobody knows.
That's incorrect.
You say Carter?
That's not right.
Did the Chiefs have a receiver named Carter?
Well, I'm just telling you, that's it. There's nobody else on the phone lines right now. Everybody dropped. That concludes the mini game. We're done. Text line wins the prize now. You got to name the other three on the text line. That's how we do it here. We don't give you unlimited chances. You miss is what you do. You miss. There's six wide receivers. Tyreek Hill, Dwayne Bowe, and Kinnison off the board. If you name the other three on the text line, we'll give you the prize. No, phone callers, we gave you an opportunity. You didn't call. Time has passed. Coming up on the other side, Mike Tomlin met with the media earlier today, and he lied to everyone. I'll tell you what he said next. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6. Welcome back to 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Before we move forward, let me give you the correct answer to our trivia minigame. Dwayne Bowe said, how great would it have been to play with Patrick Mahomes? No disrespect to Matt Castle, which sort of seems like disrespect to Matt Castle. I get why Dwayne Bowe feels that way. These are the quarterbacks he caught touchdown passes from. Damon Heward, Brody Croyle, Tyler Thigpen, who might be one of my 10 favorite Chiefs players. Quinn Gray, Matt Castle, Kyle Orton, and Alex Smith. So Dwayne Bowe had a 1,000-yard season with the Chiefs. Who were the other five receivers since 1995? The correct answer, Derek Alexander, Tyreek Hill, Eddie Kinnison, Jeremy Maclin, and Andre Rison. Rob, that was the correct answer of today's trivia minigame. You missed this when we played it earlier today. You missed it. You forgot about the Derek Alexander years. You wasn't watching football back then. I get it. You just started watching football whenever Mahomes got here. You ain't really been following it that closely. I understand.
You said years like he was more than a singular guy. If you can, in 2000, it wasn't like the Chiefs were a bevy of offensive weapons and Derek Alexander was Calvin Johnson. He was just there.
Derek Alexander is super Byron Pringle. That's who he is. He's super Byron. Coming up at the top of the hour, Mitchell Schwartz will be in here. We'll talk football. He was on the Chiefs team that lost to the Steelers in the playoffs. We'll talk to him about that. We'll talk to him about being on the Steelers against the Steelers in the game in which Patrick Mahomes threw six touchdown passes. So we'll recap those with him. Also take a look ahead to Sunday night's matchup between the Chiefs and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's catch up with Mike Tomlin and hear what he had to say, head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was asked the question about this being Ben Roethlisberger's last wave. And, of course, the computer would act funny when I want to hit play.
2 weeks ago, it was Ben's last home game. Last week could have been Ben's last game. Now Ben has another game. It sounds kind of cheesy, but can you continue to ride this kind of, this is going to be Ben's last whatever wave?
Those are our intentions, certainly.
Thanks, Mike. It ain't no wave, bruh. There's no wave. There's no momentum. You beat the Browns and the Ravens. One organization is a poverty organization, and the Ravens, they just beat up. There's no wave of riding the emotion with Ben Roethlisberger. Because that little ripple that you have is about to meet a tsunami, which is the Kansas City Chiefs. It's about to meet a tsunami in the Chiefs. Ben's last wave. Every time I think of this little run that Ben Roethlisberger on. I think of whenever Draymond Green was yelling at Paul Pierce, "You ain't Kobe. They don't love you like that." No one cares if this is Ben Roethlisberger's last game. No one cares.
Steelers fans care. They don't have to watch him play football anymore. They're rejoicing in the streets.
Do you think Pittsburgh would have a better chance of winning this game if Mason Rudolph started? It'd be close.
It's negligible.
It'd be close. Like, let's say that tomorrow Ben Roethlisberger reported positive for COVID-19 and could miss the game. And then we found out that Mason Rudolph was going to be the starter. Do you think the line changes at all? Do you think the line changes tomorrow if Ben can't play because of COVID and Mason Rudolph is the starter?
It may go from 12 to 13 and a half.
Yeah, I don't think the line changes at all. The line stays where it is. Maybe a half point. I mean, they're already 12-point dogs with them.
What if the Steelers came out and said, you know what, screw it, it's Dwayne Haskins' time to shine. What happens to the line?
10.
It goes down.
It's 10. That's what it is. That's what it would be. All right, Mike Tomlin was asked about Melvin Ingram. As you remember, Ingram was on the Steelers at the early part of the season, and then the Steelers were doing a charity. We didn't know that they were doing a charity. It wasn't announced that they were doing it. A lot of people don't like to announce their charitable gifts. You know what I mean? You do it in silent. But the Steelers actually, they did an AFC giveaway. Hey, do you want Melvin Ingram on your team? The Chiefs were like, I guess we'll take him. Hey, sure, we'll give him to you. What do you want? A quarter? Here, you can have him. Rob was like, no, it's too much. We don't want to give you our last quarter. Who knows what we can buy with this quarter? But the Chiefs were like, yeah, you know what? Here. We'll give it to you. He has been a blessing for the Kansas City Chiefs. Here's what Mike Tomlin had to say about Melvin Ingram.
They got quality edge people and Frank Clark and Melvin Ingram. Melvin has been an awesome addition to him, particularly in terms of the point of attack. He takes a lot of the run game responsibilities. He plays on the tight end side or the three-man surface, and Melvin's the type of guy that you can't trade one for one with. This guy comes off one-on-one blocks and makes tackles. I mean, that was a big play he made last week that got him out of that stadium, blowing up that run in the backfield.
That was Mike Tomlin earlier today. Now, I will say that Melvin Ingram to me has been a very important reminder. Sometimes Sean Barber and I go back and forth about this, and don't tell him I said this, but sometimes I am a prisoner to the numbers, and a lot of times I think we try to use unquantifiable things to justify our opinion. If something isn't popping up in the numbers, we use certain buzzwords and key phrases to make a player seem a lot better than what he is. Melvin Ingram has been better than what the box score says. If you're a Steelers fan or a fan of another team and you have not been watching the Chiefs and you just Googled Melvin Ingram and looked up the numbers for the Chiefs, they'd be like, eh, he ain't really done a whole lot. Yes, he has. I would then say you're not watching. If you come to the conclusion that Melvin Ingram hasn't been a key part of this defense moving forward and hasn't radically changed the Chiefs' defense, I would just say you haven't been watching. You just missed it. You've been busy. People are busy. There's a lot going on. The box score doesn't tell the full story for Melvin Ingram. The box score tells the story for a lot of people. I remember whenever Frank Clark was playing poorly when he first got here and we was trying to make it seem like he turned into Reggie White and was getting double teamed every time. The box score was telling the truth. Sometimes the box score lies, and the box score is lying on Melvin Ingram. He has been one of the better pass rushers in the AFC since he's gotten here. His impact on the team is more than just what you can look up on Pro Football Reference. I still don't understand how it didn't work for the Steelers. The Steelers don't miss this bad. I know they got pass rushers, and I know that TJ Watt's going to win Defensive Player of the Year, and I'm not saying he's at that level. But you got a guy who clearly had a lot left in the tank. He wasn't even in your rotation. You weren't even you. He was unhappy there. Ingram got here and has been nothing but happy since he's returned. You haven't heard a peep from Ingram. Everybody seems to like him. He talks to the media. He wears his 24 for Kobe. He's making plays. He's flying around. He's fit in perfectly to what the Chiefs want to do. How did the Steelers have that guy on their team and just they couldn't find a role for him? I'm always going to find room on my team for corners. I'm always going to find room on my team for edge rushers. You know, you can never have too many of those guys on your team. The fact the Steelers had him on the team in week six, couldn't figure out how to use him, and then just gave him to a team in their division will just make absolutely no sense to me. It will never make sense to me. Last thing here I want to play from Mike Tomlin. He was asked about the first time these two teams played. If you remember, it wasn't good for his team.
We have big-time challenges in terms of preparing for Kansas City. We've been to Kansas City very recently. They handled us and handled us definitively. And so we understand that. But at the same time, we're not paralyzed by that. We accept that we didn't play well enough last time. We accept that we didn't plan well enough last time, but that's last time. And we're excited about the process of readiness this time, putting together a better plan, putting our guys in position to make more consistent plays, particularly in a weighty moment, situational ball, and going in and playing. You know, we realize where we are in terms of the scarcity of these opportunities, man. We're just living in the moment. And I'm really excited about doing so. But we better get ready physically. We better get ready mentally, emotionally, because it's going to take all of us. They're a very talented team in all three phases.
The last time these two teams played, the Steelers ran into an absolute buzzsaw. An absolute buzzsaw is what they ran into. That game was never close. It was never competitive. It was never entertaining. I'm looking at the box score right now, and you know how ESPN, there's like the story you can read, and then you can go to the stats. The headline reads, Chiefs rout stumbling Steelers to clinch the AFC West. That's what the Steelers were called less than a month ago, stumbling. They got dominated in just about every single phase of the game. Roethlisberger threw the ball 35 times for 150 yards. They couldn't get anything going offensively. They looked helpless defensively against Kansas City. They were the worst team the Chiefs have played this season. I know they ended up not being the worst team they played this season by record, but the Giants were way more competitive against Kansas City than Pittsburgh was. Washington was, the Steelers were the worst team the Chiefs played this season. The Steelers just don't do things offensively that really give Kansas City problems and fits. They're not good enough at quarterback to give Kansas City's defense fits. We saw 17 games of this defense. We know the teams that they struggle with defensively and the teams that they don't. And Pittsburgh just, they just don't do a lot of things offensively that really give you cause for concern. But I do want to make this point really quickly regarding Mike Tomlin, because I've seen a little bit of this more and more popping up over the last couple of days, is Mike Tomlin and how he's done in the playoffs. And it has not been good for the Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoffs in recent memory. He's 8-8 in the playoffs and got a lot of his especially big wins early in his career and has really struggled of late in the postseason. And a lot of people are using that as maybe a, hey, maybe time has run its course. Maybe it's time for us to move on. I mean, he was 5-2 in his first 4 years as the Steelers head coach, and now is at 8-8. So it lets you know how it's been going in recent memory when it comes to Mike Tomlin in the postseason. I think we underestimate, and maybe Chiefs fans don't underestimate this because they went so long without winning playoff games, how hard it is to consistently win at this level. And what the Chiefs are accomplishing in continuing to get to the playoffs, being favored in the playoffs, we think they're going to the AFC Championship game or better this year, is like a really rare thing and difficult thing to do. Think about who we deem to be some of the best coaches in the National Football League. Sean Payton, top 10 coach, right? He went through a dry spell there. He had a franchise quarterback and went through a dry spell where 3 straight years they went 7-9. With Breeze, with big time, big flight wide receivers, the Saints were down for a time period. Think about the Baltimore Ravens. Ravens ain't won a whole lot of playoff games since they went to the Super Bowl, right? They went to the Super Bowl. It was a surprise. Flacco and them made the run. They've won, what, one playoff game since then? Think about Seattle. had the Legion of Boom, Russell early, comes out of the gate hot, winning playoff games, going to Super Bowls. Ain't really been a whole lot of playoff success since then. Aaron Rodgers just hosted his first NFC championship game. Aaron Rodgers. Winning in the playoffs is hard to do. And outside of New England, no one's really done it consistently in the last 25 years. Hell, we used to mock Peyton Manning by not being good in the postseason. Best regular season quarterback ever, but can't win the big one. It's just really difficult to win at this level. Rob, it's to what people say about Bill Self. It's hard to win in the tournament consistently and go to Final Fours and win national championships. If you're talking about a one-game sample of lose or go home, that you can win 31 games in the regular season if you're Kansas. You catch the wrong matchup on the wrong day. You shoot 25% from three, and now you're going home in the second round because you shot the ball poorly. It's just really hard to win at this level. I'm not making any excuses for Mike Tomlin. They have been a consistent program. He has had a lot of advantages. He's built a lot of advantages there. And now they're going through a lean part of the postseason. But just look around the course of the NFL. Who's consistently winning playoff games that doesn't have Peyton Manning or Patrick Mahomes right now? Or excuse me, Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes right now? The answer is nobody's consistently winning those games.
Which is like a fun stat about Mike Tomlin and his playoff success that will tie in this whole hour. Do you know his last playoff win as head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers came in Kansas City against Arrowhead?
Yeah, against the Chiefs.
Yeah. The last time Mike Tomlin, widely regarded as one of the top five coaches in the NFL, with a future Hall of Famer quarterback, the last time that guy won a playoff game was in January of 2017. Patrick Mahomes hadn't even gone through the draft process yet. You guys mostly knew him as Texas Tech guy who struggled with Kansas twice. That is how long ago Mike Tomlin last won a playoff game. So yes, winning in the playoffs is hard. If your last name's not Belichick or Brady, it's damn near impossible.
No, it's super hard. It's just really, really hard to do. To win in the playoffs consistently and at the level that fans think you should be winning at if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers. Teams aren't winning a playoff game every single year. You get upset, your team's down a little bit, an injury happens, and you get knocked off. I mean, this year, you're going into the playoffs as one of the bigger dogs in recent memory is what you're going into. You're a 12-point underdog. You're not winning this playoff game. Nobody wins this playoff game. On the road, double-digit favorite. You lose. You play the team that's better than you. You play a team that can really win the Super Bowl. You're just a nice to be here. Take your T-shirt that you get for showing up. Take your nice little extra playoff stipend, your little extra playoff check, and you'll be done by Sunday night at 10 o'clock Central. You'll be done. Go and start making plans on Tuesday. Whatever plans you have for next Tuesday, you will be there. You will be in Cabo or wherever you plan on going.
If you're in the Pittsburgh media, get ready for that. They fill the trash bags with their locker room stuff availability on Monday.
You know,
that's coming.
100%.
I've covered a few of those. They're fun.
Yeah, if you cover the Steelers and you got plans for next Tuesday, you can go ahead and do them because your plan will not be advancing in the playoffs. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Mitchell Schwartz will join us in studio. Mitchell Schwartz will be here coming up at 3 o'clock. But first, yesterday we got so caught up talking NFL and coaching that we forgot to pay our respects, Rob.
Hit it.
We didn't pay our respect to Bob Saget. R.I.P. R.I.P., Bob. This is my question. 913-576-7610. What's the show that most reminds you of TGIF? You remember ABC back in the day? Dynamite lineup of shows. Full House was a staple on TGIF. It's an all-time family sitcom. Who doesn't love Full House? What's the show that most reminds you of TGIF? The answer for me is simple. Boy Meets World. I love Boy Meets World. I still watch it on Disney Plus. It's a great show. Rob, what's your show? What's your show that most reminds you of TGIF as we pay our respects to Bob Saget? We got so busy yesterday, we forgot to pay our respects to the legend, rest well, King, Bob Saget, passed away at the age of 65.
I will also say Boy Meets World, but since it's lame to have the same answer as you, I will give the second answer of Full House. But because of my age, I think there's an honorable mention here. Sabrina the Teenage Witch was a show I really enjoyed on TGIF. I loved Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I maybe had a little bit of a crush when I was a kid on Melissa Joan Hart, so yeah, it's what everyone says. Full House, Boy Meets World, whatever. But that is my honorable mention. Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Not a bad one. It's not a bad one at all.
Hey, that talking cat. I loved that talking cat as a kid. Didn't understand the humor because I was a kid, but great.
I also think Family Matters is pretty high up there, too. Family Matters is pretty high. I mean, I don't know if we can explain to the next generation the strength of TGIF. I mean, Family Matters, Full House, Home Improvement, Boy Meets World, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, back to back to back to back. You weren't going anywhere on Friday night. You were inside watching TV on ABC. Rest in peace, Bob Saget, man. This is very sad news. Very sad news a couple of days ago.
Do you know what we can never, ever explain to the youth? Why people watched Dinosaurs.
I never got it even back in 92. I still don't understand it. Show's terrible. I still don't understand. I forgot about... They also had... Sister was on TGIF. I'm looking it up right now. Just a classic block of television back in the day. Somebody who I'm sure watched a lot of TGIF as a child. Mitchell Schwartz will join us in studio next. He was on the Chiefs team that lost to the Steelers in the playoffs back in early 2017. He also played with Patrick Mahomes in 2019, whenever Mahomes threw 6 touchdown passes against the Steelers. We'll get his stories from those days next. Keep it locked right here. It's The Drive.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week 1? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.